Very impressive. I never knew you were fond of fishing.
Dominic smiled, and Lewis felt something cold move within him. For a moment, Dominic's eyes had looked just like the shark's.
I promised you an audience with my spy, and here he is.
A man wrapped in a dark cloak appeared suddenly out of thin air to stand beside Dominic. Lewis stepped back and flushed hotly. He didn't take kindly to being made the butt of someone else's humor. His hand dropped toward his sword hilt, but stopped a few inches short. He was in Dominic's territory now, and he dare not risk an open attack, even with the monk at his side. On his own ground, Dominic was too well protected by his sorcery, not to mention his blood. Lewis turned his attention to the spy, and his stomach lurched. The man had no face. The eyelids were sealed seamlessly shut, and below the blind eyes there was only a blank expanse of smooth skin, and no trace of mouth or nose. He stood very still, awaiting Dominic's orders.
This isn't how he usually looks, but I'm not quite ready to trust you with his identity yet. That will require a great deal more commitment on both our parts than I think we're ready to give. But I assure you he is one of Victor's inner circle, trusted by everyone and privy to all their secrets. Aren't you, my dear traitor?
A flat mouth opened in the blank face like a wound.
Yes, Prince Dominic.
No offense, Dominic, but how do I know this person really is who you say he is? He could be anyone.
No offense taken, dear brother. I brought him here to tell you things, things only an inner confidant could know. Tell him, traitor.
Victor is ill, and has been for some time. He is being slowly poisoned, and is growing steadily weaker, despite everything his supporters can do. Of late, he is unable to leave his chambers without help.
He seemed strong enough this evening in court.
There is reason for that, but I don't think I'll share that with you just yet. I have to keep some secrets to myself.
All right. I'll accept the spy as genuine. I'd heard about Victor's illness from my own confidential source. But can you trust this spy? Traitors are notoriously unreliable.
He obeys my every whim. Traitor, put your hand in the water and leave it there.
The faceless man thrust his hand into the water up to the wrist. He stood there unmoving, and Lewis's hackles rose sharply as he realized what was going to happen. Even as the thought crossed his mind, the dark shadow of the shark appeared in the distance. It moved rapidly forward, jaws agape for the tasty morsel of flesh that hung unmoving in the water before it. The faceless man didn't move an inch. At the last moment, Dominic gestured sharply. The shark's jaws snapped together a fraction of a second later, and it turned sharply aside. It swam back and forth for a while, and then disappeared back into the depths. The faceless man moved back to stand beside Dominic, who patted him lightly on the arm, as a man might reward a dog that had performed some simple but amusing trick. Lewis's breathing began to return to normal. He didn't give a damn whether the traitor lived or died, but the inhuman control it must have taken for him to just stand there while the shark approached. A sudden thought came to Lewis, and he looked sharply at his brother.
This spy of yours, is he unreal?
Yes and no. Really, Lewis, you can't expect me to tell you all my secrets. Do I ask you about the monk? All you need to know is that my spy belongs to me, body and soul. He will do anything I require of him, anything at all. Now then, Lewis, I think we've finally come to the crux of your visit. You have come here, not for the first time, to propose an alliance between us, against a common enemy. To be honest, I don't see that anything has changed since your last visit. We both want the same thing, and neither of us is likely to step aside for the other.
Even so, we still have common cause for the moment. If we can't get to the stone, we can at least work together to make sure no one else can. There'll be time to worry about each other once we've taken care of the competition.
I think you overestimate the strength of your position. To put it bluntly, dear Lewis, you don't have anything I need. My support among the Blood is far greater than yours. My troops are well armed and well trained, and I have my own spy in Victor's inner circle. You have the monk, admittedly. But I have my own magic. And frankly, I think I trust that more than I'll ever trust the monk. Particularly after that debacle of his at Boromir. Releasing bloody bones from his grave wasn't really a very sensible thing to do, Lewis. I think that's all I have to say to you. You can go now.
Elizabeth smiled sweetly at Lewis and took Dominic's arm. They started to turn away. Lewis flushed hotly as he realized he'd just been dismissed as casually as any servant.
You never intended to go into partnership with me, did you, Dominic?
No.
Dominic stopped and looked back.
In fact, if it weren't for the monk and Ironheart, Lewis, you wouldn't even be in the game any longer. As it is, you're merely a nuisance.
Then why did you agree to see me?
You're a bright boy. You'll work it out.
Lewis's hand dropped to his sword hilt.
Ironheart!
He turned back to the door for a moment, nodding to the monk. When he turned back to curse his brother, Dominic, Elizabeth, and the faceless man had vanished without a trace.
Damn it!
The narrow passage was full of struggling men, and the air rang to the clash of swords on armor. A crowd of guards wearing Dominic's livery swarmed around Ironheart, trying to drag him down by sheer force of numbers. More guards lay dead and dying all around him. Ironheart moved slowly but remorselessly through his attackers, his sword still sheathed on his back, perhaps because there wasn't room to use it in the press of bodies, or possibly just because he preferred killing with his hands. His great mailed gauntlets swept back and forth, leaving a bloody trail of dying and crippled men in their wake. Flesh and bone tore and shattered under his inhuman strength, while swords and axes rang harmlessly from his armor. The guards fought like madmen, often scrambling over the bodies of their dead fellows to reach him, but all to no avail. He moved steadily forward, shaking off their clinging arms and slaughtering all those who came within reach of his blood-spattered fists.
Damn you all!
Another guard turned to face him, and Lewis's sword flashed out to sink deep into his gut. Lewis tore out his sword in a flurry of gore. The smell of blood hung heavily in the air, and Lewis grinned like a wolf as his sword rose and fell. Ironheart thrust his fist clean through a guard's chest, and the bloody knuckles protruded from the man's back. He died with a look of disbelief still on his face. One guard's axe punched through Ironheart's armor and buried itself in his ribs. As he lurched to a sudden halt, another guard seized his chance and thrust his sword through one of the eye holes in Ironheart's helm. The point of the sword jarred to a sudden halt against the back of the helmet.